Now, let's move into Judges chapter 4 to the story of Deborah. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's the historical picture here. They've done all of this living and fighting and trying to take hold of their territories. The 12 tribes have been split up and their land boundaries given. And now Joshua has died, although it'll speak a little bit of him. And a time of judges has come into Israel. And these were appointed people by God who would speak up when the people were in utter loss, situations of dismay. They have been given directions to follow and keep the commands of the Lord, to be good, to be holy, to not follow after the practices of the land they were in. And instead, they would marry and intermarry and do horrible things. Then they would get terrible in a situation where someone would win. The Lord would allow people to defeat them, and then they would cry out to the Lord, and he'd send a judge. There are famous judges in here. Gideon is one, Samson's one, and this is one today named Deborah. She's the one that we all say, see, there was a woman who ruled in Scripture. Anyway, we do like this woman, and for several reasons. After Ehud died, who was one of the judges, and also Shamgar was one of the judges who came right before Deborah, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. This is similar to what Moses did and the elders did in Israel earlier. They would have disputes about land or marriage or possessions or property, and they couldn't quite settle it, and they would come to the judge to settle their disputes. Now, what we know from her is that she's a prophetess. Other than Miriam at this point, we haven't seen one. And that means that she spoke the word of the Lord. She listened and she spoke the word of the Lord into the situations. That's what she did. We don't know how old she is. I'm thinking she's old. I'm thinking that she is, but it doesn't say that. That's Kathy Russell. Okay. But it's because she has such a healthy view of the men. She is not in competition. She is seeing them as an encourager. Watch her life here. Listen. She held court in the palm of Deborah beneath Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. She sent for Barak, son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Now, it's the Lord who will do the bringing of the men, not Deborah. But the Lord himself is saying, go do this and I will lure Sisera to you with all his 900 iron chariots. You need to understand this is the beginning of the Iron Age and they didn't have any. The Israelites were very diminished. We talk about superpowers in terms of arms races, these people didn't have much. Most of the judges, I mean, when Samson killed, he did it with the jawbone of a donkey. One of them used an emblem that you would plow with to kill. But these armies had 900 iron chariots. I mean, they were way beyond what the Israelites could have fought. So this was a huge thing of faith. But what Deborah says is, this is what the Lord commands you, Barak. She is in Ephraim, which is north of Israel. Manasseh is above that. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of Joseph. He was given two portions of land for having been the redeemer of Israel in Egypt. Naphtali is above Manasseh, up near the Sea of Galilee. So she's calling way up in the hill country, way above her, for him to come down and to lead these troops to Mount Tabor, which is in that vicinity. And he will deliver them. She has spoken the whole word of the Lord to him, and this is his first response to hearing the word of the Lord. So here's what he does. Barak said to her, verse 8, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, who is he dependent on? Deborah. That's why I think she's older. I think there's something in the grandma-ness of her, that this is a godly lady, and he thinks he'll be safe with her. He wouldn't have felt safe with a young woman in sense of other men looking at her or that sort of thing. This is a married woman, respected, and he will feel safe with her. But he is going under her skirts here. I mean, he is saying, I'll ride under your coattail, the edge of the fringe of your robe. If you go, I'll go. Very unlike what we just saw with Rahab. If you do this, then I'll do that, okay? She does have an if that, but she's already done the right thing. She's already lied for them in hopes that something good will happen. He is called for, spoken from the prophetess of all Israel directly. The Lord says to you, and his response is, if you'll come with me. Very well, Deborah said. I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. Those are tribes. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zenanim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. Now this word, the Lord routed the army, is similar to some other fights where they didn't even have to raise a hand, or they just became so confused they actually were fighting each other. They begin to flee. They see 10,000 men coming down the mountain, probably screaming at them, down that mountain towards them. And even though they're on 900 chariots, they're fleeing on the chariots. They're not standing to fight. There is no plan. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, the one who was camped by that tree. Because there were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid. So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. I'm thirsty, he said. Please give me some water. She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. Now, why do you think she gave him milk instead of water? Makes him sleepy, okay? He's been running. So she gives him, actually, it's almost like cottage cheese or yogurt. It said in the song about this that it's curdled milk. He's exhausted. She gives him something that really makes his stomach heavy, and he goes to sleep, heavy sleep. She covered him up. Stand in the doorway of the tent, he told her. If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, and I will show you the man you're looking for. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. Then Deborah sings this beautiful song. Now, this is one part of it. We do not have time to go through all of it, but there are two parts of this song I want to hear. It's chapter 5. If you have time to read it in your small groups, reading the song would be wonderful. She and Barak both sing this. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched in the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased. Ceased until I, Deborah, arose. Arose a mother in Israel. This is her might. This is her claim to fame. She does not say a great prophet. She is a humble woman, and she has mothered Israel by speaking the truth of the Lord. Her mothering is the speaking the truth and standing with, accompanying in need, but assigning the reward where it's due. And Jael gets the reward in this. Jael fought the fight. She's not the picture of the submissive woman that we usually see. Jael was brave. And she took this general in her own hands, his life in her own hands, as unto the Lord. But Deborah is a mother to all of Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes and with the willing volunteers among the people. She's leaning towards the princes of the people. She wants to see the men succeed, the leaders succeed, the women succeed, all of them succeed who will volunteer and follow. Praise the Lord. And then she goes on saying, wake up, Deborah, in verse 12. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. What a picture this is of Messiah who takes captive the captives of Satan. He goes forth. This battle is a picture of a spiritual reality that will come later. But she is a picture for us as sisters in the faith to stand on the word of God, to encourage, to love the church and the princes of the people, to love goodness wherever you see it, and to affirm it and encourage it and draw it out. A good prophetess is not known for being a good prophetess. A prophetess is known because the Lord is known through her mouth. And so it's not about the greatness of people. We are not to attain that kind of greatness or even shoot for it, you all, to be the kind of godly woman who, fill in the blank. We want to be humble trusters of God, like Rahab the prostitute, and like Deborah, a mother in Israel, and like Jael, who was willing to take it into her own hands because it had been prophesied and spoken. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your women and this word that you teach the whole church through. And thank you for our brothers in the word as well. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.